and welcome into the latest edition of the Rebel Room. I'm Taylor Byrne alongside Case Kiefer and Ray Brewer here to break down the week in UNLV athletics, and a fairly big one as UNLV football coming off of a pretty ugly home loss, but heads to San Jose State with a chance to win, get to that fourth victory, which would ensure an improvement in the win-loss record for consecutive years for the first time since 2001 to 2003. Elsewhere, UNLV basketball ramps things up. We will see if anyone in this room can name more than three players. And in the administration world, we now have what appears to at least be an announced date on the final days of Tina Kunze Murphy as the athletic director. Her contract was supposed to run out this December. They announced a six-month extension going through the end of the fiscal year, so June 30th, 2017, at which point she will move into the UNLV Foundation to help with fundraising, and they will hire someone else. So that one was more of just kind of waiting for the specifics there. I don't think we need to get into that a whole lot. But on the field, let's start with football.
Oh, could I tell you one thing real
fast? You absolutely
may. Podcast doesn't have to follow script.
Sure.
In my column the other day, I wrote that I couldn't name five players, let alone the starting five.
Uh-huh.
And the first commenter is like, wow, this Ray Brewer clown shouldn't have a job. And then you, somebody who's smarter than me and follows this for a living, can't name three players.
I mean, to be fair, I was being a bit hyperbolic. I can name.
Okay. And he also said, can anyone, like, I think it was more towards can you or I. I'm pretty sure I can name three. I don't think I can get four.
Here, let's just do that now.
Poyser, Morgan.
Okay. Those are the two.
New players.
Can you pronounce their names?
Oh, I was about to say the new guy I know has a name I can't pronounce.
Is it Georgi Slavonchinen?
Probably. I just remember that name.
Cyborn.
I think it's Clyburn, right?
Clyburn.
Ah, I got that one too.
No old players. Dwayne Morgan, Tyrell Green, and Jalen Poyser.
Those are my three.
Those are the three.
Is Tyrell Green going to actually play?
Don't know.
Oh my God.
Very, very unclear there. Some of the new players that you should know their names because they will be factors. This one, if he gets healthy, Chekna Dembale, who was recently, 2 weeks ago, I think, officially cleared. He's coming back from a foot injury. So if they get him by, like, at least December and moving in, they need the help up front, because otherwise it's just Georgi Slavonchinen in the front court. And then Christian Jones, the transfer from St. John's, who I think is going to be one of the starters, should be a solid player, but a little more of an undersized big. Then you have Clyburn on the outside, Jovan Mooring, potentially going to get some minutes there, and Troy Baxter Jr., a kid that I haven't even seen practice yet, but I will later today. He was the freshman that they added right before school got started, or maybe right when school got started. I can't remember the exact date there, but he was the last scholarship added, a top 100 type of kid who was originally going to South Florida, and because of the coaching situation there, the potential sanctions coming, they wanted to get out of that. So he's
came to a better situation here.
I mean, yeah, when you're looking at going to a place where the coach could be fired in a year or two, then I think starting with a clean slate is probably a better situation, and one where playing time is available. At least it would seem like it is. So does everybody feel like they know a little more now?
I feel pretty good, actually, because although I couldn't have named those guys off the top of my head, I was at least familiar with all of them except for one guy you mentioned whose name I've never heard in my life.
Jovan Mooring?
Yeah, I don't know who that is.
Yeah. Chicago kid, I believe. I might be even screwing up.
I think any other name you'd say, what does this guy do? I'm pretty sure I would have said, oh, he's a UNLV basketball player. That guy would have said, like, oh, is he the
There could be 10 of the UNLV basketball players sitting in the room, and you could say, which one of these kids plays for UNLV and which one of them plays for wherever, Kansas? And I'd be like, no clue.
Well, that's why you got to go to the campus event Wednesday, 5 to 7 p.m., to actually get your eyes on these people. Because, I've heard a decent number of complaints from fans, and I'm wondering what you guys think about this. It's a new coach, an upheaval of an offseason. Even if you like where things ended up, there is a lot of uncertainty throughout the process. And with only three players returning, only two of whom ever really saw the court, we were just talking about whether Tyrell Green will play at all this year or not. No one in the public who lives in Vegas knows these kids at all. And it seems like UNLV is not – they've released some getting-to-know-you videos on UNLV Athletics, and I guess I could look at the views to see how much those are actually getting passed around. But when it was announced and part of this is out of their hands, they don't get the Mac until the court goes down Halloween night, the day before their first exhibition game. So availability was not great there. They looked at some other options and just decided not to do basically a Scarlet and Gray scrimmage, you know, which is something that they've done not every year, because last year the downtown event was a little different, but they've usually had something at the Mac where fans can at least come and see the guys play. You know, I've barely seen them play. There hasn't been a whole lot of media availability either. I've seen it posited by some that the staff is hiding this team. What do you guys think of that?
I buy into that narrative. I think that it's a team that is still learning how to mesh together, might not have as much talent as past seasons, and at least initially might struggle. Is it a team that has potential to get better? I think all teams should potentially get better, but I think they're hiding something. Did you see, by the way, that that Reno did a little downtown outside?
Oh, yeah, Arch Madness, which you can't have a college basketball event called Arch Madness. That already exists. That is the Missouri Valley postseason tournament is Arch Madness. And I think, what, the reason for the name is their sign, the biggest little city in the world thing, is like an arch. I think that's the
point.
That
shouldn't even count as an arch. That's a weak arch.
It's not a real arch.
That's a weak arch.
But yeah, Dave Rice goes there, and all of a sudden it's a downtown event that everybody's excited about. Weird. Interesting. I mean, it has far more to do with how the team is going to be this year, but, you know, I can make correlations where I want.
Yeah, it's interesting. I hadn't even heard the Mac reasoning that they just had trouble putting something together. I had heard totally the narrative of they're just trying to hide this team. They don't want anyone to see them. They've gone to these links. And I mean, I haven't been close to the program at all. I haven't seen anything since that Marvin Menzies introductory press conference, so I didn't know how much to believe that. But I know that that feeling is out there, which isn't that great when, at least the introductory press conference I went to, where, you know, Menzies was fired up and wants the team to be the community, wants the community to connect to the team. It's kind of hard if no one knows these guys, no one's seen these guys, and if they are being hidden, I don't know that they are.
But. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of people who need to be sold on why they should care right now, both from, you know, having problems with administration, not liking either just Dave Rice as a coach or how Dave Rice's firing was handled. Just how the coaching search was handled. There's a lot of things that people are just sour on UNLV, and I don't know. I think it's probably a little bit nitpicky, but it does feel like they haven't gone to enough lengths to try and ingratiate this team with the community and to give people an opportunity to get behind them. That said, games start pretty soon, you know, so you're either going to show up or you're not. And whether you saw a couple of scrimmages in the preseason or not, people are most likely going to come or not come based on the record, and that, you know, it's probably just not going to be very good. They're not in a UNLV is not in a good position right now. It's kind of a lose-lose situation unless they just emerge and have a great year. Now, I think by our standards, going 500 would be a very solid season for first year.
This is good.
If they went like, I don't know how many games they have exactly. If they went like 16-16, that would be such a good year.
I think that's about where you would expect. I actually thought this has been my favorite podcast the last couple of years because Brewer has just gotten like, usually we're joking around and we're talking back and forth, but Brewer got actually mad this first basketball podcast the past couple of years because we were so down on UNLV and he was so high on them. I thought today was going to be when we all agree. But Brewer just cringed at the 500 mark.
It's just knowing that what is coming up is, okay, if we could get to 500, yay, it's an accomplishment. That would be – give me a word to describe what 500 would be.
Mediocrity.
Okay.
I mean,
give me a word. What would you describe 16-16 for this team? A word, not two words. You're smart. Just a single word.
Wait, for this team or in general?
Yeah, that's a different question.
For this team,
in general.
A huge accomplishment.
That's two words.
That's three.
Huge.
I'm just saying, like, do we want to just raise the red flag and say, let's just try to be average this year? Are we striving for mediocrity?
Yes. Absolutely.
I mean, this is UNLV.
You understand the realities of the situation, though, right?
I know, but...
There was nobody coming back, and they have a schedule that includes games against the preseason numbers 1, 2, and 5.
This is UNLV, who has players on their roster who probably haven't even seen UNLV be in the NCAA tournament since they were in middle school. That's the reality of the situation.
Seventh place finishers, UNLV, who, as I'm looking at a tweet right now, have 6 former players on NBA opening day rosters. That's of the recency. So I don't know if is Almanson and Anthony, I think they're
cut.
Still on rosters
both
too.
Both got cut.
Oh, they did?
Yeah,
oh,
my
okay.
Knicks had to cut Lou.
Oh, really?
And Joel got cut by San Antone.
Yeah, so Pat McCaw, Zimmerman, Christian Wood, Rashad Vaughn, Derek Jones, who made the cut with the Phoenix Suns.
Despite playing 13 preseason minutes.
Yeah, that's fine. Who cares? Good for him.
Yeah, it's great.
And then Anthony Bennett on what seems like his 7th team now with the Brooklyn Nets.
Do or die. Do or try to recover some.
So it feels like it's been do or die for him for a little while, but this is probably the last chance.
Yeah, it's just it's tough going into a year where there's a lot of unknowns. You don't know who the players are, right? You don't know if those players know how to dribble a basketball. You don't know anything about Marvin Menzies other than he was like your 19th option to be the coach, right? You don't know how the league's going to be, but it should be better than last year because it was really, really bad last year.
I don't know that it should be better than last year.
Well, I think
year.
New Mexico's better.
Maybe.
San Diego State's probably going to be the same.
They might fall off a little bit, but San Diego State's still the clear favorite.
Reno will be a top 25.
Nevada should be better.
Top 20. You do that to piss me off. Nevada.
It's what they
Nevada
are.
Nevada will be a top 25
They are
team.
Nevada. Like, we talked about this on ESPN last week. Did you guys see the sign that one of the Rebellion kids had that said, "Hey, UNR, where's your debate?" or something like that?
Kid's a genius.
And Chris Matthews, the CNBC guy or whatever station he's on, said, "Hey, what's UNR?" And I, like, retweeted it, and, you know, a bunch of UNLV fans were like, "Haha, yeah, yeah, in your face." To me, that's, no, they're Nevada. He doesn't know what UNR is because they're not UNR. They're Nevada.
Well, that's all right. That guy's a hack anyways.
That's just how I interpreted that, but...
Again. I stick with UNR because it's our style, but I do have to say Taylor makes a good point there because before I moved here, if someone would have said UNR, I would have said, what the hell is that?
I adhere to Sun style in print. It is UNR always. But when I say it's Nevada. That's just what they're Nevada.
Yeah. Sun style. I like those people who wrote that style book. Yeah, so listen.
So mediocrity is the goal this season. I'm not
saying
that's
what
it is forever.
Maybe we'll be like Nevada and hang a banner if we go to the CBI tournament.
Well, they won the CBI tournament.
No, but they did win the CBI, but before they won said tournament, they'd hang banners for advancing in the NIT or winning a Mountain West Conference tournament game.
Well, I mean, they've been in the NIT recently. It's more than UNLV can
say. I know. UNLV sucks at everything. They got a cruddy athletic director who they're trying to figure out what to do with, and they want to.
They don't suck at everything though. A lot of the non-rev sports are doing very well.
Soccer is going to win the league. Volleyball going to win the league.
Soccer is doing well. Colorado State's still a juggernaut there. That's tough to win the Mountain West. But volleyball having one of its best seasons ever. Both men's and women's soccer really solid. The golf programs are, you know, virtual juggernauts each year. So those keep rolling along. There's a lot good happening. It's just the revenue sports, the ones that, you know, obviously get more attention. And I won't even say, like, football's coming off of a very ugly game. That was a disastrous first half, 35-0. There's just no getting over how bad that was. That said, I think they've got a very good chance to go win this weekend. I was going to say they're going to go win. I need to look at it a little more. But they absolutely can go to San Jose State and get that fourth victory.
Because San Jose just lost at home to Hawaii.
Hawaii is UNLV's best win.
Yeah. Sometimes when you don't have a lot of the guys that are good that could run and make plays for you, we're talking football now, it's tough to win games. And I've tried to listen, God bless me for the effort, to part of the Colorado State game. I wasn't there. But when UNLV needs to make a play, they just don't have anybody good enough to make the plays. They're still obviously – Sanchez's second year, trying to develop some Jimmies and Joes to play the twos and the threes.
He even mentioned a quick little Jimmy and Joe in the
Did
post
he?
Game.
Yeah, Brewer and Sanchez on the same vocabulary. But, yeah, need to get Jimmies and Joes to play some other positions. And, you know, when you're playing, it just goes back to you know, lack of guys in your stable. You only got a few horses, and one of the horses needs to get shot in the hip.
Colorado State's a better team. They are not that much better. That's so much more than just the people you have. The people they have should have put up a better fight than that. They couldn't do anything on third downs. Defensive line also just got dominated. Colorado State's offensive line did whatever it wanted pretty much the entire game. The second half, you know, and this was kind of what Sanchez focused on in the post game, was like, you know, we showed a lot of improvement. We fought back. Like, none of that matters. You were down so much. You kicked a field goal when you were down 30. Like, what the hell was that? That was weird to me.
That's one of my pet peeves in any football.
In the post game, he was asked about the first onside kick that they did and answered it basically like, I'm not here to make the score look better. We're trying to win. Like, okay, but 5 minutes earlier, you kicked a meaningless field goal. What are we talking about here? That was so weird. We were up in the press box trying to figure out what was happening. And for a guy who like views it that way, like we're trying to win, not trying to make it look better, you can't kick that field goal. Bottom line. So that was something but it didn't matter. They had already lost the game. Just came out and got bludgeoned there. But they still have, you know, bowl game talk, obviously, put on hiatus. You win this game, maybe it gets ramped up again for a potential Wyoming victory. But now it's down to those three. You got to win three out of the last four. You're not winning the Boise State game. Wyoming looks like a decent team. You know, maybe they supplant Air Force as that, you know, lone second tier below Boise State and San Diego State, but I don't know. You know, I think any game for the most part is winnable in this league, so I'm not marking that down as a Wyoming victory yet. But UNLV they bounced back just fine from the San Diego State game, and so I think they, going on the road now, at least have the recency of, hey, we're going to be fine. We did this at Hawaii. We can go, you know, do this again against the San Jose State team that's, you know, probably the second worst team in league that they've played. You know, they crushed Fresno State, which just fired Tim DeRuiter, and then beat Hawaii. And now I think San Jose State is probably down there with, you know, with Reno and, well, Fresno State's in a category all by itself at the bottom, but they're down there. So this is absolutely a winnable game, chance to get to 4-5, and, you know, moving. I don't know if sort of this up and down, if you can call it moving in the right direction, but, you know, what did we talk about at the beginning of the year? Win the games that you're supposed to. You didn't do that. You were favored against Colorado State, but it's just get a few of those. I never expected them to win all the kind of coin flip games. So if you just win at least half of them, that's progress. Four wins, five wins, if you get into that area, that's progress. So that's still very much in play. It's just, you know, a bit of a downer week considering how bad they played against Colorado State.
Idaho game, still going to haunt them. Still haunts me.
If they beat San Jose State and then defeat Reno to keep the cannon, get to five victories, are you even going to be able to enjoy it, or are you just going to think about that Idaho game and how that could have been for
the
bowl?
If they get five victories with the cannon, it means it'd be a two-game improvement or 66% improvement. Considering the injuries, I mean, I think he could still – and Tony's the best marketer in the world. He could still sell his new Era Vision successfully.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you look at it like that big picture – and certainly as time gets removed, you could say like, oh, look, you know, we got better another year, and that's fair. I just think if I was a UNLV fan in that moment, it'd be kind of depressing to look back and say, hey, if we beat this team that's dropping to the football championship division, we're bowl eligible. So I think the particulars, it still would kind of sting. But big picture, it's okay.
Yeah. It's just the way in which it would happen. But there's always, you know, expectations change throughout a season. And it's tough to take yourself back to kind of the preseason mentality and what you would have been okay with. Five wins would be great. You know, if they still find a way to get to that, it's a solid season. It just includes a lot of clunkers, which is kind of the way an inconsistent team plays. You know, that's a mark of a building team. Sometimes it comes together and sometimes it doesn't. And when it doesn't, it looks real bad. I don't know what to make of Dalton Snead. We've now had the 9 passing yards against San Diego State, 1 for 8 for 14 yards in the first half against Colorado State. Like, it can't not every game has to be like 22 of 29 and all this stuff, but the drop off just can't be this severe. But as I just said, you know, a lot of times that's a sign of inconsistency. He is a redshirt freshman. You know, it's the signs of growing up, and it's just unfortunate for UNLV. They've never had much of a solid answer at the most important position. And when you compound that with occasionally defensive lines that just get mauled and defensive secondaries that regularly give up big chunks of yards, you know, it makes it hard to get consistent progress. But that's, you know, that's the goal. As Ray, you said, eventually the idea is to get in enough players that you have the kind of depth that you need at all those spots that you can build. But
probably get in a player who could also throw the ball in the air to another player in the same jersey.
That's good.
Further than three yards down the field.
They need those kind of ideas. And that they should hire an adjunct coach.
I'll call Tony and say, hey, you got to go get a quarterback that could throw the deep ball with the cannon.
What do you think he's going to say? Oh, man, Ray, thank you.
I hadn't thought about that. I got an idea for him. I don't know if he'll go with it, but we'll see.
What's your idea?
I don't want to scoop myself. I'll tell you guys off the air.
All right.
All right. Well, with that, we will leave you guys. For Ray, for Case, I'm Taylor, and we'll talk to you next week.